treasurer is the Holy Spirit. So now we begin with first part. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your great gifts to us of relationship with you and freedom to come to you in prayer. Please help us to believe your word and to trust in your promises as your beloved children. In Jesus' name. Amen. In Luke's Gospel, we read that the disciples come to Jesus and they have seen him praying. And Jesus' prayer has moved them so much that they have a request for him. They think Jesus knows what he's on about in prayer. And in fact, all of us are actually managers in prayer, and we constantly need to be making the same request that the disciples made of Jesus. Lord, teach us to pray, they said. Lord, teach us to pray. And when Jesus responds to the disciples' request, he does something that from our perspective may look kind of strange. Jesus does not give his disciples perfect principles for powerful prayer or 7 steps to successful supplication. Jesus, in fact, does not give his disciples a method of prayer. But rather, he gives them something much better. He gives them the gift of his very own prayer. And now I turn to Matthew's version of the Lord's Prayer, which is found in Matthew chapter 6, from verse 9. That's on page 685 in the Pew Bible, by the way. Jesus says, "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." Today we're going to look at the first part of the prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. In Greek, that says, if the Lord's Prayer begins, Pater hemon on entos pronos, as anyone can tell. That's just to assure you that, you know, you've got some value of your money from you going to seminary for 6 years. The point here is that the first word of the Lord's Prayer is Father. Father of ours is the way that it begins in Greek. In fact, Father is the first word in all Christian prayer. By beginning his prayer with the word Father, Jesus reminds us that prayer is not a shopping list of things, of boxes that we would like God to tick. Prayer is primarily about relationship. It's primarily a conversation with God, who is a loving Father to his beloved children. Jesus wants to do something very special for giving us his own prayer. He actually invites us to approach the Heavenly Father as if we were him. Jesus actually gives to us the gift of his own identity as the unique and beloved Son of God, and says that when we pray, we can come to God in the same way that Jesus does. This is quite profound. There are only 3 people in this world who can call me Father. One of them sitting right there in the green top. I think that I learned more about God from becoming a father than I did from all my years in seminary, despite being able to do the weird thing. And that's because the parent-child relationship is a relationship that you can never really read about. You can only experience it, and you only know what it's like when you're actually in the midst of that relationship. And so, Jesus is teaching us here and keeping us healthy. That prayer is not a shopping list of a million things that we need to ask for. It simply begins with being in the presence of God. Just as a child will be in the presence of his loving parent. I don't know about you, but sometimes when I come to prayer, to my prayer time, I find that I have a million things whirling around in my head. A million things to do, a million important things that have to get done, a million things to pray about. And yet, when I hit this one word, Father, all of those things get put in their proper perspective. They all get put in their right place. It's not that they're not important. They are, for sure. But what God really wants is not all of those things, but for us to be with Him as His beloved children. Dr. John Wayne, who was one of my lecturers at seminary, writes something quite astounding in his book, Grace Upon Grace, as he writes about the Lord's Prayer. And he says this: since we are disciples of Jesus, He gives us much more than a set prayer that is to be the model for all our prayers. He gives us His own status as God's Son and allows us to share in all the privileges of His unique relationship with His Heavenly Father. By giving us His prayer, He includes us in His relationship with His Father and allows us to act as if we were Him, dressed up. By giving us His prayer, Jesus puts us in His shoes and involves us in His royal mission, the holy profession as the royal Son of God. He also identifies Himself with us and with our needs, necessities, sins, and temptations. He joins Himself to us so that we can join Him in prayer and borrow everything from Him. This challenges one of our commonly held ideas about prayer. And that is that prayer is something that we have to do. Prayer is a human work. It's something that we kind of work ourselves up to. Now I'm going to pray. But Jesus is showing that prayer is first of all a gift. A gift of grace and relationship from God the Father, given through the Son by the power of the Holy Spirit. So it's not about us gritting our teeth and going, now I'm going to pray, or gee, I should have prayed more. It's actually the work of God within us, inviting us to be His children and to be with Him. And St. Paul says something very much like that in Romans chapter 8. But as he writes about the work of the Holy Spirit, in Romans 8, verse 14, Paul writes, those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons and daughters of God. For you did not receive the Spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of adoption. And by Him we cry, Abba, Father. By the gift of the Holy Spirit, we can address God in the same way that Jesus did. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus prayed, Abba, Father. And now we also the privilege of coming to God in the shoes of Jesus, confident that our loving Father wants to listen to us and to be with us. Well, that's the first word. It's a pretty good start to a prayer, to realize that this is actually Jesus' gift to us, a gift of relationship and conversation and friendship. Let's go a bit further into the prayer. That one. No. It's not up on here. I didn't have enough time to really put a good PowerPoint together today. Our Father. Well, what can we get out of that little word, our? By addressing God as our Father, Jesus is teaching us that prayer is corporate. It's not just about me. In fact, when we come to pray, prayer connects us, not only with Jesus, but with the whole community of God's people who have called on God as Father throughout the history of the church. And this reminds me of something that I heard once. A teacher said, the New Testament is written in the plural, but we read it in the singular. The problem is that in English, often the word you doesn't translate as you plural, you are, or you out there, yous. It just seems as if it's addressing us individually. But Jesus prays to God as our Father. This means that Jesus is praying with and for us. And not only that, but we are praying together with the whole community of God's people gathered under His name. That means that when I can't pray, or when you can't pray, when you have reached that point, whether through grief or tiredness or guilt, or any other things that can keep us from coming to God in prayer, we are actually uplifted in our health and grace by the prayers of all of God's people and by the prayers of Jesus Himself. Our Father in heaven, our Father, teaches us that prayer is not just a one-to-one thing with God, but it draws us into the whole family. This is a challenge to the individualism of our culture. Jesus actually prays as if He's one of us, and as if we are Him. Okay, our Father in heaven. Next, Andrew. Our Father in heaven. By saying in heaven, Jesus is not saying that God lives up in the sky somewhere beyond the clouds, maybe beyond Alpha Centauri or the nearest galaxy or something like that. In fact, maybe a misunderstanding of this phrase in heaven has led to that caricature of God as an old man with a beard sitting up in the clouds somewhere. This is not what Jesus is saying, teaching, and giving to us, as He says in our Father. Actually, in heaven doesn't mean in the sky, but it means beyond the realm of the physical universe. And so Jesus is saying that when we address God, we are addressing the Creator of the whole universe, the one who is beyond and more powerful than anything that we can imagine. This reminds me of Martin Luther's explanation of the first article of the Apostles' Creed. I believe that God created me and all that exists. So here we have this amazing paradox when we come in prayer to our Father who is intimate to us and wants to be friends with us and engage in a relationship with us. Our Father in heaven, the transcendent Creator, God of the universe, is the one who is also our Father. We have this paradox of great intimacy and great power. And so it's not surprising that Paul can say that God is capable of doing far more than all we ask or imagine, because He is our Father in heaven. Jesus' phrase here also reminds us that we are citizens of a heavenly realm. We might have permanent residency on this planet, but this is not our home. We are created and designed for something that goes beyond the limits of this physical universe. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Now, I used to get really puzzled about this. You know, they say that the most important part of something is either at the beginning or at the end, for emphasis. Why on earth did Jesus put "Hallowed be your name" as the first petition of the Lord's Prayer? When I was growing up, I thought, maybe surely your will done as in heaven, or your kingdom come, should be more important, should come first before "Hallowed be your name." But Jesus got back thanks. Hallowed be your name is indeed the most important petition in the Lord's Prayer. Jews of Jesus' day, Orthodox Jews, and still to this day, Orthodox Jews around the world, will not say the name of God aloud, even in prayer, for fear that they may take God's name in vain. This is an amazing, incredible reverence for the name of God. It's something that probably we can't even imagine doing that. I can't think of anything that we wouldn't mention for fear that we might do something against that word or that name. But the name of God means more than just speaking his name around. The name of God entails God's reputation. It entails his recognition as God. And so, hallowed be your name is indeed the most important petition in the Lord's Prayer, because it means when people hallow the name of God, they are keeping the first commandment. People are recognizing God as God. They are knowing God as Father. And they're relating rightly to him. And so, hallowed be your name means that people are relating to God as their Father, as their beloved children. They are coming to him through Jesus. They are right with God. And so, hallowed be your name has to do with justification. For those of you who have been baptized, in your baptism, God has placed his name on you. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, the pastor said at that point as he poured water on my head. And so you have been named by God. You are people who bear the name of God in daily life. And so for us as God's beloved children, hallowing the name of God means receiving and trusting him as Father. Receiving and trusting the forgiveness that he gives through Jesus. Living lives that show our relationship to God as Father. Living lives that are in accordance with the name that he has placed on us. So hallowed be your name means that we live as God's people, as his forgiven and beloved ones in this world, and bear the name of God to a world that needs to hear and to see what that really means. The Lord's Prayer is not just a prayer. It's actually a gift of God's grace to us, as Jesus the Son gives us his very own identity and invites us to come into the presence of the Heavenly Father as if we were his Son. The Lord's Prayer is full of grace and gospel. And my prayer for you is that as we go through these weeks, you'll be encouraged to pray and to live into the powerful, life-giving words of the Lord's Prayer as God's beloved children. Our Father in heaven,